from Psalm 19, and we're reading verses 7 to 14, and that can be found on the Church Bible on page 456. Starting at verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, in keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Nathaniel, thank you very much for reading. And Steve, thank you for praying for us as we come to God's word. It's fantastic to get together to pray for each other, to pray for our church, and to pray for the wider world. And it's hugely significant as well that we stop at this moment and listen to the Lord speaking to us. We speak to him. We want to hear what he has to say to us. And I want to begin just by asking some questions for you, just to have in your own mind and your own heart. My prayer in asking you these questions is that the Lord might use them just to shape the posture of your heart as we come to Psalm 19 to hear and receive what God is saying to us in a very personal way. So here are the questions. What do you do when you feel spiritually flat? Second question. What do you do when you lack wisdom for decisions that you need to make in life? And a third question, just to go into your subconscious, into your heart, allow the Spirit to take it and use it as we come to God's word. When you're hungry for real joy, not just surface happiness, what do you do? What do you do? That's where we're going in Psalm 19 today. And we were engaging with Psalm 19 last week, verses 1 to 6, and engaging with a fantastic sermon. Really, that creation speaks out. But there comes a point when the speaking of God's voice through creation is not enough. Last week, we listened to the heavens. Look at verse 1 of Psalm 19 again. The heavens declare the glory of God. Creation is constantly preaching to us. The skies tell us there is a glorious God. The sun comes up every day and it goes down and then it comes up the next day. It is there routinely, always there, speaking of God's faithfulness to us. The stars whisper his majesty. These are wonderful things that speak of the glory of God. And that is the sermon that speaks out each day, each night. But for all its beauty, it leaves something unsaid. The sun speaks of glory, but not of grace. The stars point to a creator, but they don't really reveal his character, some aspects of it, but not the heart of it. We may see enough to know that God is there through creation, but not enough to know him personally. And that's where Psalm 19 turns in these verses that Nathaniel just read for us. From the wordless revelation of creation to the spoken revelation of the Bible, the book that you've got in your hand. Here David shows us, he's the writer of the psalm, something greater than the sun, the very words of God, written down, accessible and transforming. So three simple things from the Bible about the Bible, from this psalm about the Bible. And we're going to focus just on verses 7 to 11. Time is a bit restricted with our Bible talks during our praise and prayer, so we're going to limit it to just those verses, which I think are a really good summary, and I hope you will too, of our whole summer and beginning of the autumn series on Psalm 119 and Psalm 19. I think this is a great crescendo to end on. Here is the first thing. The Bible comes from the Lord. The Bible comes from the Lord. Look at how David describes the Bible in verses 7 to 9. Six times he uses the phrase of the Lord. If you look at the Bible with me, it talks about the law of the Lord, the testimony of the Lord, the precepts of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the rules of the Lord. He piles up these words intentionally. He wants to make one thing absolutely clear. These are not the reflections of a wise person. They're not the accumulated insights of some ancient tradition. These are the very words of the Lord God, the living, promise-keeping God. God who made the universe, the God who hears our prayers today, is the God who runs, who rescues sinners. He is the God, and he has spoken. And what he said is more trustworthy, more necessary, and more precious than anything else that creation can offer us. We trust the weather forecast. We listen to the news. We read our favorite blogs, but none of those things at all, none of those voices actually knows your heart. None of them sees your future. None of them can raise the dead or bring joy to your soul. Only God can do that, and he does that through his word, and his word is summarized in the Bible. That's the first thing. The Bible comes from God. Secondly, the Bible gives us life. It gives us life, it gives us wisdom, and it gives us joy. So David moves from the origin of these words. They come from the Lord, to the effect, the impact that they have. What impact does the Bible have on the life of someone who listens to it, who reads it, and who meditates on it, and who obeys it? Three astonishing answers to that question. What does the Bible do for us? Number one, the Bible gives us life. Look with me at verse 7, the first part of verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. Reviving the soul could also mean restoring life. That is what God's word does. That's what the Bible will do for you. It brings us back to spiritual vitality. There is no real life, there's no lasting life without the Bible. It is the oxygen of your soul. It's the food that sustains your spiritual strength. And without it, we begin to slowly die inwardly. Even though we may not know it straight away, without God's word, we begin to shrivel and to die. The Bible breathes life where there is weariness. The Bible brings the water of life where there is dryness. The Lord, through his word, speaks to us even when there is despair. And some of us know what these things are like. Perhaps there has been a time, maybe you are there right now, when your heart has been cold, your prayers dry, your joy in the Lord God is shriveled and gone. But then the Bible pierces through. Perhaps a verse, perhaps a chapter of the Bible, perhaps a Bible talk. Perhaps it's happening right now as you listen afresh to Psalm 19. It's like someone switches the light back on. That is what God does through his word. It's not just to inform us, it's to actually wake us up, to wake us up spiritually. Second thing, the Bible gives wisdom. Look at the second part of verse 7. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Look at verse 8 as well. There's words in verse 8. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Wisdom, according to the Bible, is not about being clever. Wisdom in the Bible is about living well. It's about knowing what really matters, seeing clearly in a confusing world. This world offers us endless amounts of information, but very little wisdom. Social media tells us how to follow our own hearts. Advertising tells us how to spend more money. Influencers tell us how to be successful. And they just multiply. There are millions of them out there. Take your pick. Politicians tell us how to fix society. But only God, through his word, tells you how to live a life that pleases him and that will bless you. Only God tells you how to make sense of your suffering, your money, your relationships, and your future. That wisdom comes from God, from the Bible. Not from within, not from culture outside, but from the Lord himself, from him, and from his word. And thirdly, what does the Bible give to those who listen to it? Thirdly, the Bible gives joy. Again, look at verse 8. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. And look at verse 10 as well. Talks about them being sweeter also than honey, drippings from the honeycomb. We saw that imagery when we were looking through Psalm 119. This is not about dry duty. It's about delighting. It's not about the Bible being a textbook. It's not a checklist. It's the fountain that leads to life, that gives us life of lasting joy. The Bible gives us joy. It leads us to have hearts that rejoice. David here says it's sweeter than honey. Why? Because it brings us to God, who is our joy. Wonderful metaphor, isn't it? It shows us his promises. It shows us his mercy and his grace. And above all, it shows us his son, Jesus. The joy that flows from the Bible is deeper than pleasure and stronger than pain. It is the kind of joy that we can walk through agony and grief and trauma with. As Job famously said, and he suffered huge trauma, "The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." God's word can steer our hearts through the most terrible situations in life with a focus on him that says, I can actually know his joy still. I can know his peace. He speaks truth to us in ways that nothing else can. The third one to say is that there's great reward in obeying the Bible. Look at verse 11. "Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward." There's great reward in obeying the Bible. The Bible doesn't just nourish us, it protects us. It warns us from walking into sin. It warns us from drifting into danger, from trusting the wrong voices. Notice what David says next in verse 11. "In keeping them, there is great reward." What reward? Not more money, not comfort, not status, but simply this: the reward of knowing God. And knowing God knows you. What could be better than that? The reward of a clear conscience, knowing that he forgives you through his son Jesus. The reward of a wise and stable life, which is there for us as we follow in his ways. The reward of joy in suffering, the reward of eternal life through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. These are wonderful things that come from knowing the Lord and knowing the rewards that we have in him. So let me begin to draw what I want to say from the Bible today to conclude. The Bible changes absolutely everything. The first half of Psalm 19 shows us the glory of God in creation. But the second half shows us the grace of God in the Bible. And the takeaway for us today, if creation tells you that God is glorious, the Bible tells you again and again and again that God is good. If creation is there to stir our wonder, the Bible will revive your soul and bring you life. So let me ask you, are you feeling spiritually flat? Those questions we asked at the beginning. Are you lacking wisdom in the decisions that you have at the moment to decide upon? Are you hungry for real joy, not just happiness, but real deep joy? Then the Bible is where you must go. The Bible brings life. The Bible brings wisdom. The Bible brings joy. And in keeping it, there is great reward. So may God give us a true hunger for the Bible. Not because we have to, but because we see it for what it really is, the living voice of the living Lord. A final thing. This description of God's word that revives the soul, that makes the wise gives wisdom to the simple, that rejoices the heart. It reminds us of Jesus. You see, Jesus is not only the fulfiller of his word, but he is actually the word of God made flesh. We read about that in John's gospel. The beauty of these verses in Psalm 19 isn't just that they point us to the Bible, but they point us to the person that fulfills the Bible, that the Bible focuses in on. They point us to Jesus. You see, he lived every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. His soul was revived by the Bible and directed by the Bible, by the Old Testament that he knew so well. His heart filled with joy in it. The precepts of the Lord were truly right in Jesus' life, and he obeyed them to the end, even death on the cross. Jesus is speaking out the word of God. He's quoting scripture. This psalm was ultimately Jesus's to sing. He alone could say with absolute integrity, in keeping them, there is great reward. And he received that reward not only in himself, but for you and for me. His resurrection is the great proof that the Bible is trustworthy. Jesus' resurrection is the great evidence that God's word is life-giving and full of reward. Jesus rose in victory because he perfectly kept the law of the Lord. And now by his Spirit, he breathes that life into us. So when you open your Bible, don't just look for principles. Look for a person. Look for Jesus. Pray that God's Spirit, by God's word, would lead you to know Jesus. to know his presence, to know him speaking to you, truth and comfort and life. That you trust his voice to be the one to follow. That his spirit would make his voice speak louder than all the other voices that clamour in, that point the finger, that make us feel guilty, that make us feel lost. Those voices are loud. May God's voice, through his word, through Jesus, bring truth to us. Truth that we love, that we love him, that we walk in his ways with freedom and with real joy. Because right there is countless joy, isn't there? I ask us to pray. Maybe you want to pray quietly or with the person sat next to you, if they're happy to pray with you. And I wonder if you just pray two or three simple things. Number one, thank God for the Bible. Thank God that he has spoken clearly, lovingly, and powerfully. Secondly, ask for God to give you a fresh spiritual hunger, a deeper desire to delight in God's word, the Bible. And pray thirdly, that by the Holy Spirit, Jesus would be clear through the Bible to you, that you would hear the Spirit speaking to you as the Bible's word comes to you, that you'd know Jesus more deeply and better. So, yeah, quietly or with the person next to you, let's just spend two or three moments praying.